Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast, a member of the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're streaming live via Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, bringing you the latest in fishing tips, gear reviews with our friend from Payne Outdoors, Chris Payne, as well as some local and regional tournament news. We'll bring you on some special guests to talk kayak fishing. Now, let's join John Rapp, your host. Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of September 2022, episode 37 of the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. So, jumped on here just a few minutes early because I wanted to get Chris on. He's got some meetings he's got to do, and we wanted to get him in because our topic tonight is fishing patterns, fall bite, the fall fishing bite, and what affects it. So if you're on, like Greg Kupfner just did, thank you, brother, hit that like button, share button, follow button, and let's see who will show up on the screen. Hit those comment buttons. Make a comment. Tell me you're on here. Let's see if my comment box is working. I just refreshed it, and I'm hoping that we get everything right. So without wasting a lot of time, I'm going to go ahead, get over here on the Messenger app, and call up Chris. I know he's in the vehicle. We had intentions earlier. We were chatting, and we were going to do work on the new mold that he got, but it looks like something come up at work and he's not going to be able to make it. So we're dialing him up now, and we'll get him on the line. Get that camera set up. All right. Chris Payne Outdoors, live, raw, and unfiltered. Here on the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. As you can see, he's working on his vid camera system, and then we will get this thing rocking and rolling.
Hey, John, I'm not going to have video for the first part. I'm moving right now.
Oh, no worries, brother. Okay, sounds good. So what we're doing here, guys, as Chris is running along, is this episode is on the fall bite, and what you need to look for, what you need to do when you're starting to pattern your fish for fall, the fall part of the year. So, Chris, you want to jump in? Let me know what you think.
I think there's two real big stages to the fall bite. I think we've got the early fall bite, and then the cool fall bite.
Right.
So the early fall bite is really that time where we're transitioning from topwater baits to fast moving baits. And then your cooler bite is when basically the fish are not hitting fast moving baits anymore. And we all start throwing jigs and slowing down our presentations. That's when jerkbait fishing, with the slow pause type stuff really starts to kick up.
Get them deep, baby. Get them deep.
Yeah. So, when we're talking about fall, the early portion of it, I like to start the mornings with top water, basically just to judge, okay, are they going to hit top water? Because if they're still hitting top water, I want to catch them like that, because they will come from quite a distance to crush the top water if they're still eating it. And so I will fan cast the absolute dog out of, I switch over more to a popper in the fall, or a Zara Spook, less of a whopper plopper or torpedo bait. So less prop baits, more glug or walking baits in the fall. And you basically fan cast it. I'll do that for about 30 minutes until the sun is up. And then once the sun is up, if I'm not catching them, I'm switching over, and I'm probably fishing either usually a jerkbait, to be honest about it, because I think everybody who's seen this show more than twice knows that I like to fish jerkbaits.
Right.
I'm fishing a fast-moving jerkbait. I like a fast-moving jerkbait in that early fall transition, because fish will chase it, and you got to keep it moving. If they don't seem to like the hard bait, or you need to get it deeper, I'm gonna roll to like a paddle tail swim bait.
Sort of like the new mold that we just. It's too bad. Next week we'll be able to show the new mold in action. Hopefully, if all goes well. Now let me throw this scenario here in West Virginia. We just had our wettest August on record in West Virginia.
Okay.
So basically, our summertime flows were springtime flows. But the little research today, in August, middle of August, Bluestone Lake currently today is 64 degrees. But back in August 18th, it was 78 degrees. So it's already dropped 14 degrees in a little over 3 weeks. Somersville Lake. Hey, buddy, we got you live.
Hey.
Somersville Lake was 71 degrees today. And back on August 9th, it was 81 degrees.
So
we're looking at a lot of water flow, and
a lot of
water. We still get rain like crazy here, brother. A lot of water flow, a lot of high water in rivers and lakes. Water temperatures are dropping. Daytime, our daytimes are shortening. So I'm curious. I know what I've been doing. I wanted to see what you would do.
So, a couple of questions. So, like, if I were coming up and fishing a tournament on one of the rivers blind, I would ask some locals, first off, what are your air temps? What are your highs every day now?
Today was about 74, 75.
Okay. Has it been about that?
Yeah, overcast and rain. The past 2 days, overcast and rain, mid-70s. Saturday was partly cloudy with a little bit of rain, close to 80 degrees.
How deep are the lakes?
They're pretty deep. Somersville goes over close to 400 feet in the deepest. Average fishing area would be between 20 and 40 feet.
Okay. And your water clarity?
Extremely clear. Extremely clear. I mean, when it's stained, you can still see probably 10 feet down. But now that's Somersville. Now, Bluestone is a little different. It's another Corps of Engineers lake. It's a little bit more shallow and muddy all the way all through it. A lot of lay downs, a lot of trees and timber along the edges. That's the new river that runs and makes the Bluestone.
Yeah.
So it fishes a little different than Somersville. Somersville is a smallmouth lake, and you fish deep normally for it.
Yeah, so I would say are your fish hugging the bottom on your electronics, or are they suspended?
I haven't been out on the lake here the past month or so, but I would suspect they're still, with our days and temperatures and the float water flow, they're going to still be around the banks. And in the 20-foot range, 10 to 20-foot range, because you can go 15 feet off our bank and be in 20 feet of water. So.
Okay. So if it's clear, one final question. What's the main forage for these smallmouth in Somersville?
Well, it's basically brim. There's no shad or nothing like that in Somersville. So it's going to be your sunfish, crawfish, the other.
So if I had to pick one bait to throw, I would throw probably a 3.5 or 4 inch paddle tail in some kind of bluegill pattern on an underspin up by the banks. And then when you move into 20 or 40 foot of water, I would put that same swim bait nose hooked on a drop shot rig.
Okay.
That's how I'd fish it.
Sounds good.
If you only had one. Now, obviously, if I get two baits, then I'm probably swapping out on the drop shot rig. I'm probably going to throw like a Mr. Roboto, a Robo Worm style, skinny worm like that. With something at that depth, you're going to lose a lot of colors. So something in a dark profile, like my Moody Blue with a chartreuse tail or something like that. Or a watermelon with red flake or something like that. Actually, I take that back. Not a watermelon red flake in 40 foot of water. Probably a green pepper pumpkin, or green pumpkin pepper.
Yeah, we do well with green pumpkin. Basically, at this time of year, I would start transitioning back to sort of that crawfish color that you have with that you've been making.
Yep.
And if the water is a little stained, I would always do a little chartreuse on them. Throw a little chartreuse.
Yeah.
But Somersville doesn't really get real, real dirty like other lakes. It's pretty clean. Now when we're talking Bluestone, Bluestone's is muddy. It's got grass, a lot of trees and stuff off the edges, islands. So
I'd fish that way.
I'm gonna throw your paddle tail on that, and I'm also gonna throw a spinner bait.
That's just a me thing. I would throw probably a number two Strike King square bill and a chartreuse blueback square bill in that timber. If the grass is all around the timber and you can't do that, yeah, I'm throwing that paddle tail.
Yeah, and let's say we're fishing the upper Bluestone toward what we call it's below the falls.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Oh, what's that place called? Anyway, but it's got a lot of grass. It's a long lay area. There's deep pockets, some shelves, but mostly grass. I would do, again, what you were saying, at this time of year right now, at daylight and at dark, or I would throw top water.
Yeah.
And I would work the edges of the grass, across the grass, and then off the wood, and see what happened with that. Off the edge, there's a lot of laydowns in wood there. So, and then if you go on up the river where the river begins the lake, you get into more rocky areas, more ledges, and again, your technique that you were speaking of with the square bills, I would have a gold collar square bill on.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, Rapala makes I think it's called the BX Brat. It's a small square bill. It's about like that, and they make it in a gold color. And that dude, it will absolutely wreck shop. If you're in like shallow timber and rocks and stuff. They're just not as durable as a Strike King for bouncing off stuff, because it is the BX is it's a balsa wood crankbait, and so you can't just beat it on the rocks and expect that it's not going to take some damage.
Yeah. So, guys, when you're starting to go plan your day out, if you're, let's say it's Tuesday, and you got the weekend off, you're watching the weather forecast, it looks like it's going to be good, and you're like, okay, you're looking at the weather temperatures. Make sure you look at the temps, see what the temps are. Pay attention to the rain gauges, see how much water flow is coming in and going out of your creeks. Yep. Because this time of year, your bait fish are going to move toward the mouth of the creeks. And when they do that, your bass and your other predator fish are going to follow, and they're going to stage around those edges of the creeks, especially if you got structure around them where they can ambush. So pay attention to your light, your temperatures, your water flow. I mean, it's the things that we do every day as kayak fishermen, as anglers. We study those areas, but in the fall you got to watch the temps. As the temps are falling, your small bait fish are going to levitate toward the water that's flowing in. And anyway, Chris, thoughts on that?
I think the thing that I was asking about, you know, when we asked about water temp and that kind of stuff, I was curious as to what your air temp was when you were thinking about the water temp, because like for here, we've been getting a lot of rain also, and that could potentially drop the water temp 4 or 5 degrees because it's just been raining and cloudy and the sun hasn't come out. But our air temps have been still in the 90s. Right. So if I see a 4 or 5 degree water temp drop in when it's still in the 90s, that triggers a couple of things in my brain, right? I'm like, okay, well, it's not because of the air temp that's coming down. It's the water.
Right.
So what I want to do when it's doing that is I want to find the areas, the inflow feeder creeks, because they're going to be the most oxygenated water. They're going to have the most bait fish around them. They're going to be swiping in bugs. It is going to be like a Golden Corral buffet. So find where that water is coming into your lake and hit it.
Check those boxes right there, because, I mean, that's exactly right. I believe, you know, with the way, and the other thing that you just mentioned that I was thinking about while you were talking, that has come back to me now, is nighttime temperatures.
Yep.
We're here in the last week and a half, our nighttime temperatures are finally dropping below 60 degrees. So that's okay. I think that is what's cooling our water off a little bit more, and a little faster, as I talked about earlier. If you were paying attention, guys out there listening, the temperatures here in the last 3 weeks have dropped an average of 10 to 12 degrees. Bass are feeling that. They know what's coming, and they're going to start feeding up for the winter. So
here's something else that I would recommend, John. If there are guys that are still fishing tournaments on Tourney X right now in different areas, go through and look at the fish catch submissions on lakes around you that you can find the water temps for. And look at those fish. If there are still long and skinny fish, there's probably a correlation to warmer water temps.
Right.
And if you start finding those bulbous, you know, bulging, shed, gorging looking bass, I would look at the water temps for that lake for that week when those fish were caught. And that will tell you, give you a good idea of what the temp trigger is for those fish. Because I think you could talk to any fisherman about when do the bass start to spawn in your area, what water temp, they're going to know. What you should also know is the flip side of that coin, right? You should know the tail side of that coin and know what is the temp trigger for when they start gorging and eating everything in their presence. That is as important as spawn. You got to. So I would encourage people to look at public resources like tournament records that publish their fish, and just look at the fish. And if you are looking through there and it's like skinny, 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 and it looks like a Weight Watchers, you know, ad in a magazine, the fish are not gorging wherever that is. But if you're scrolling through and it looks like, you know, these fish are just absolutely staying all night at the Golden Corral, then you know that water temp is a key on that body of water and that these fish are all doing this. You can build statistical data trends off of public data. You don't have to call a guide or do guide trips or anything like that if you're looking for that kind of information. I would also say, man, look at those things, and it will show you what those fish are eating a lot of times, because dudes don't clean up their boat decks very well when they're taking pictures of those fish, and you can find out what's been working and what's not. Like, if you see 100 different colors of worms and crankbaits and stuff all over somebody's deck, they're junk fishing. They don't have any idea. But if you see 4 or 5 worms of the same color, or you see a couple of baits of the same color, or you just see one big green pumpkin jig and a 1/2 ounce with grass all on it that the line looks like it needs to be retied, well, now you know. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, my Payne Outdoors light green pumpkin with green flake with my garlic sauce.
Yeah.
Smashed a couple this past weekend. And if you watch the video, I lose one on a log. He spits it out. That broke my heart, because that was a nice fish. Then I threw another top. I had a topwater frog on. I was launching it as far as I could, and I'm dragging it back, and I got pow, pow, pow. So I'm like, ooh, switched up, threw my pain lizard out there, boom. He smashed that lizard, and I got him in. And that's the other thing, guys. When you're out fishing and you have the ability, put that bait caster to work, cover water, throw them topwaters, drag them back. If he hits it, but he can't eat it because you were either moving it too fast, or maybe he just is not a bigger fish, turn around and throw your lizard or your swim bait or your little paddle tail like Chris is getting ready to make a bunch of, and throw it back in there and let him hit it. New like from Jason West. Hey, Jason, buddy. Good, thank you, brother. We'll be talking to you here shortly. So, Chris, I know you've got things to do here in the next 9 minutes. Won't you go ahead and give us some final thoughts on this, and then I'll let you run to your meeting here, buddy.
Yeah, I think, for fall time fishing, understand there's two seasons, and, you got to get after it while you can on the top water. I test out every morning until I've been out three trips in a row where they won't touch the top water before I put the top water down, because you can see some amazing top water strikes this time of year.
Yeah.
And sometimes all day long. Like, it's a little crazy. So I fish the top water until they tell me they don't want the top water. And then when we get to the cooler fall weather, slow down, right? A fish's metabolism is slowing down. He only wants to eat once or twice a day and bigger meals. So upsize your bait and downsize your speed, and you'll get some good bites.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you jumping on. I know you got a meeting you got to run to. Be blessed.
Yep.
Appreciate you. And
all right.
Let's talk here about what we're going to do next week.
All right. Yeah, swim bait's coming up next week. I've got that new mold, and we're shooting some cool laminates. So
beautiful. All right, man. Be blessed. All right. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
All right, guys. So, Jason, they're schooling big time right now. Topwater is the deal. Agreed. That's what we were just hitting on. And we will hit on that here, Jason, in the next hour and a half. So keep that stuff in mind. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And I'm just going to go over a few things that I've read up on and from my personal experiences from Bass Resource and other locations like that. You five guys, hit that like button, share, follow. Let me know who you are so we can make this more interactive.
Yak Gadget, proudly supplying you with American-made products and gear. Check out yakgadget.com.
Ace Resort, West Virginia's number one destination for whitewater, hiking, ziplining, and more. Check out acerap.com.
That's Brooks Supply Company, Georgia's number one go-to kayak fishing supply store. Gear, accessories, and custom rigging. Look them up, westbrooksupplyco.com.
Outdoors, a custom plastic maker, design consultant, product reviewer, and outdoor writer. Check out more at paintoutdoors.com.
Feel free kayaks. Paddle, pedal, or power. There's something for everyone. Check out feelfreeus.com.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you guys hitting that like button. Looked like we had quite a few there while we were on commercial. We had Buddy Vance jump on. Hey, Buddy. Dennis Treadway, Brian Hughes from North Carolina, Frizzy from Florida, Jason, Marty, Jane, Harlow, and my boy Greg. So we've been online now for about 30 minutes, and I wanted to kick over to this screen here. Let me fix this for us up here. Okay, this is fishing patterns and fall bass fish patterns, okay? So there's a few things that we need to talk about when we're looking about, and some of the first things you might like that factor into your thought process, fall fishing, definitely is your daylight, and your hours of daylight. So, pay attention and go back and look, and it don't take a lot of us to think about it, but the cooling effects. Like I mentioned to Chris there just a second ago, was that here in the area I live in, West Virginia, the past, let's say, the week, we've had three nights that gets below 60 degrees. Our high temperatures have not reached 80 very often. We've had a lot of rain and overcast days. So, as I was talking earlier, we've had some water temps drop almost 10, and then another location, almost 15 degrees, in a little over 3 weeks. Your bass are sensitive to that. with that water cooling, and it, you know, it's still warm, it's still in the mid 60s. Yeah, I know you like that, Frizzy. You know, hot temperatures down there, but because of those cooling temperatures, bass are going to start racking up their feeding habits. They're going to start eating. Now, they might not go into the full-time gorge, but you need to start watching for the patterns that they start going. As Chris was talking about, he's going to throw some top water. There's my brother from another, John Rapp from Iowa. God bless you, brother. Thank you for joining in. Let me know what kind of weather you guys are having out there and if you're catching any fish. But pay attention to the patterns. You know, as are the fish moving, staying up on the bank like they have been? And, you know, are they moving to the creeks? That's just the first stage of the gorging. So you need to make note of that. Pay attention to the concentrations of your shad and other bait fish, and if they're seen and where they're seen. If you're using a depth finder, you can check and see the depths that they're in, or if you're sight fishing in shallow water, how they are and where they're going. Now, and like I mentioned earlier, creek channels. My lake here that I live next to, Summersville Lake, we have a lot of creeks that run into it. And a difficult time for me to fish that lake because it's a recreational lake. And after Labor Day, they start releasing water. It drops 3 feet a day for the whitewater on the Gauley River. So there's going to be a lot of suction and movement of that water. So those creeks that feed, those bait fish are going to hit those pockets around it, in my opinion. So if you do fish Summersville Lake, take a look at the map, look at the different creeks, and pay attention to the creek beds around them. Use your fish finders, watch the weather and things like that. Anyway, let me know what you think. We've been on for 31 minutes. This is not going to be a real long episode. I wanted to get Chris on before he went to his meeting. The intention was to do more of our working in the kitchen, Mad Kitchen, but that fell through while we were talking about fall patterns and stuff. Let me take a look at this here. Frizzy, Florida temperatures are still hot. Buddy, I know you're probably hitting Mud Lake. Let me know what you think Mud Lake is like right now. If is it hot? Still, is it cooling off? Jason, I believe you're out Midwest, so you guys are getting the same type of temperatures that we're getting. Brian, North Carolina, I know you're still warm, but I know those spots are probably getting active down on Lake Norman. So you guys throw some words out there in the comments. Let's talk about this, and we'll go from there. Let's see. Yeah, Frizzy. Frizzy just made a comment, guys, for my audio listeners. Our water temps down here in my neck of the woods have been high 80s, low 90s. It's been tough finding that comfort level, though I found a few more than usual. And again, what Frizzy and the guys in Florida face is something that we don't face. They have their fall bite is a very, very small window. Their fish are feeding year-round. Where we up here in this area, the neck of the woods in West Virginia, don't have that. Our water temps drop quickly, and our fishing times, they move significantly. So, I mean, if you look at my personal Facebook page, the past Saturday and then the Wednesday, last Wednesday, I was able to get out, put my iPhone, I do all my recording with an iPhone. I got a Yak Gadget phone holder, I got an old iPhone 10, I got it cleaned up. I use it all the time. I got a charger on it. And when I'm before I make a cast, I'll hit record, throw it out, try to hopefully get a good catch on camera. I've got a few of them on there, and you can see as I was speaking with Chris, one of my topwater bites, I got a topwater bite, didn't connect up. I put that big frog down, and I threw a lizard right back into that hole where that, and drug it through real slow, hooked up. Mikey, how you doing, brother? God bless you. I appreciate you liking the stream. But immediately got that fish, got it in, and that's the fish that you see me working it around all of the, or trying to work it around, all of the rhododendrons are in that body of water, flooded. Then, of course, the one that I did lose, a really nice fish, I got it up on a rhododendron, and it got stuck there, and he was able to wiggle his way off my line and spit my bait back at me. Before I was throwing that lizard in there, I was probing that water with a topwater bait. And that water back in there is still in the mid-70s. Been using my wife's Moken 10 with a Bixby jet motor back in there. It's been really fun. And guys, hey Dakota, how are you, hon? Hope all's well with you and your peeps down in Georgia. And just keep smashing them with that Johnny boat. John Rapp down in Iowa, 70s in the morning, 80s in the afternoon. Been hammering yellow bass and smallmouth in the morning, yet brother from another mother. Outstanding, man, outstanding. What I've been doing where I've been fishing is that I've been throwing that topwater, and I've been really, really throwing it as far as my bait cast, and I let it rip. I try to throw it along and around the edges of those rhododendron, drag them through there and see if anything will come out of there. Because, you know, it's ambush points for those fish. They come out of there, hit it, and if they don't eat it, I'll turn around and I'll throw a lizard or a small Senko back in there and drag it through there nice and slow. And hopefully I can get them to eat. And in the last several days, I've caught 6 to 8 fish. But I had one break me off on a tree limb, probably about 8 feet down. I know he wrapped me around here, but I tried to get him out, moved my boat, but still broke off. But I was using a Senko after I threw some topwater through there, and then I threw a Senko and dropped it in there. And then I was throwing Chris's lizard that I had custom made and dropping it in there. Caught a couple on the Senko. Actually, I'm phrasing that wrong. It was a Yum Dinger, not a Senko. I had a little green pumpkin with a chartreuse tail. And then I was throwing his lizards that I've ordered. And then I have a white topwater frog. It has a little trailer hook on the back of it. And if you watch the video that I posted, you can see how he got hooked up there. But a really good time. And I really appreciate you guys, the 5 guys out there watching, enjoying this interaction with you. John from Iowa, Frizzy from Florida, Buddy, my brother from another mother down in southern West Virginia. Let's look at this here. I want to go back and I just want to scroll through this Bass Resource here, if I can get over on my iPad and get it dragged. So go through that. I want you to go look at this, and I'm going to put the link up there for you guys to read. It talks about fishing patterns, and a lot of these we've hit on. Bass fishing patterns, water temps. Now it covers the whole gamut of bass fishing. So you got your spawn patterns, your spring patterns, and then you might look at that map for spring fishing trips. I know I cannot wait, Buddy Vance. I know you can't wait either, but May cannot come soon enough for us to get back up on Lake Erie. Then you got your spawn. You can see what they're throwing for the spawn there. Pressured fish, post-spawn, summer fish, summer fishing tips, best baits for summer fishing, Michael, don't catch them all over here, man. You got to save one for me. And feel free to give a brother a tip or two while you're over here. Now, fall season, we've been talking about this. And we need to make sure that, as we mentioned, there's several stages to the fall fishing. And you need to pay attention to your temps, water temps and stuff like that. Berkeley, man, what guys, let's help out my brother John here. What do you recommend from Berkeley Lures? I'm literal 15 minutes from the main factory in Spirit Lake, Iowa. Outlet store specials all the time. Man, that sounds awesome. And you know, Berkeley has a huge line of quality baits. I know at ICAST they were talking about that little minnow that Berkeley makes. It has the little fins on the edge of it. Buddy might be familiar with it, or Michael. Are you guys familiar with what that name is? Make a post on there so John can see that. I think Berkeley has so many different entities now that they've absorbed. Like, you got the Gulp. They might even own Yum. I'm not for sure. Berkeley, they have a huge umbrella of items underneath them. So that's a question. I don't use anything really from Berkeley. I stick to the simple things that work here in West Virginia, which are basically your Z-Man fishing products with a TRD hook or a Ned Rig type hook for the river fishing that I do. And I'm still going to use that even now with the way the weather is turning. I'll just fish it a little faster because you can throw lizards or frogs or stuff like that. I also use a lot of Yum Dingers, the small little skinny 3-inch Yum Dingers or Senkos. I'm a very finesse driven fisherman, so you might look at that. John, I don't know what kind of waters you fish over there, if it's fast moving, deep, if it's shallow with grass, when I'm talking rivers, or if you got lakes that have a lot of rock ledges and they're deeper with a lot of structure. But as we've been pointing out here with the fall fishing tips, you might, whatever you throw a square bill crankbait, go to find your creeks, check your temperatures, your daytime, check your conditions, if they're going to be overcast or not. So, if the water's stained, throw something a little bit brighter. If you're throwing early in the morning, throw darker. Comments, guys, help us out here. Fall season. So let's look at this here. I wanted to go down to, let me get back over here on my iPad. Early fall, mid fall, late fall. So guys, buddy, you chime in, brother. Although I know you're a one hell of a springtime fisherman, I say that your techniques then will work for the fall. So you got early fall, mid fall, late fall. Early fall, they're talking about how the pattern is. Mid fall, this article basically touches base on what the big factors of sunlight, temps, water temps, air temps. When you get into late fall, you need to go to the deeper pools because they're going to pull up. I think of Somersville Lake when the water drops close to 100 feet, if not more, to their winter pool. You still got pools of water in the mid 50s to 80 feet. But when you get over toward Battle Run, where it seems like they stage up a little bit more because there's more flow of water, then Now, as you guys can read this, the six viewers out there, Michael up above and Buddy, they've been hammering Jackson County. Our club that we belong to, the West Virginia Kayak Anglers, is having our two-day championship up there in mid-September, 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Yeah, two weeks. And so those guys are up there hammering it, getting ready for it. Shallow lakes, or hey, John, if your temperatures are like mine over there, I would dig out my bait caster and I would throw top water frogs. Go back to where you can find 2 to 5 feet of water. If there's grass, throw it along the bank, throw it along the grass ledges. If there's any structure, hit it around the structure. And pattern the fish, see which direction they want it to come. If it's going to come from an angle in the current, if it's going to come straight down with the current, you might check that out. Jody Queen from last week, if you're fishing an area that's got a little bit of moving water and it's got structure that it's moving into and it's moving around, throw into that area of the structure and move it. Try the different angles and see which way the fish are looking for the bait fish to come out of those little areas of calm water. They're staging there to hit something that's going to come in there to try to maybe fight any current that there is. I think we're going to wrap this show up. All of you guys that jumped on here and got interactive with me, I love it. I appreciate it. It's too bad. In the near future, maybe what I can do when I get you guys up, if you're able, like Buddy would have been a great one. I need to get Buddy on the show and Brandy. Those two are a power couple here in West Virginia, killing the fish. Not for you PETA people out there that may be listening. Not killing the fish, killing it when they fish. They're really a great fisherman catching fish. But I appreciate all of you guys tuning in. It's been a great show. Roland, thanks for the like, buddy. We're just getting ready to jump off here and then go work on our... I'm jumping off here, and I will get with our boys from the Feel Free Fishing Team, and we're going to do a live podcast over on the Feel Free Fishing Team page and basically talk about these topics here. So if you guys want to join us, we'd love to have you. Love to have your insight, your input, and your expertise. I think we'll go ahead and close up now. Big John, nothing but love for you and the family out in Iowa. Y'all stay safe. Buddy, Mike, and all the rest of the crew that jumped in, nothing but love. Brian Hughes, I'll see you on the fishing team page here in a few minutes, hopefully, and we can start chatting about our show that we're going to do here. Everybody be blessed, and hopefully I'll see y'all next week. Guys are on the road traveling, make sure you go to your podcast platform, go to Anchor FM, John Dash Rap. You'll find the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast there. You can listen to it while you're on the road.